It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Morning, everyone. This is really an exciting morning for me. I haven't been on the air in a while, and I missed the show, and I miss having an opportunity really to talk about wonderful people. And I was thinking about the show the last, I don't know, year plus, I haven't been on. And I was, you know, thinking, I just got to get back on the air and talk about wonderful people. And today, I'm really honored. I have my great friends, Craig Lombardi and Sweet Lou Ferraro. I had the great honor a few years ago to have them on the show. And I was thinking, if I'm going to come back on the air, I got to bring on some wonderful guests. And these gentlemen have been giving back to the community over 15 years for Special Olympics right here in Morris County. And gentlemen, I just want to say good morning and thank you so much for joining us again.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Todd. Welcome back.
I'm glad to be back.
Well, thank you, Ellen. Ellen, our producer, is taking care of the video today. And also MK. I miss MK. She does a great job here at the studio. So once again, good morning, everyone. So, you know, the show was really about the journey of giving, gentlemen. I was thinking about really what we're trying to do here. It's just really talk about people giving back, making the world better, and doing really the right thing. Doing the right thing when no one's looking, just doing it because they just feel it's important to, you know, be an important part of the community. And to really make the world a better place. I know that sounds like a cliche, but more than more now than ever, it's important to have folks like you really just doing it every day. So if I may, I'm going to start with Craig. You know, Craig, you've been involved in Special Olympics for how many years now?
2004 was the first time I got involved. And you were with the program at the time.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I'm always trying to understand is, what's the spark inside that made you decide, you know, this like 18 years ago, that you're going to take time out of your life and you're going to give back? You're going to help others that are really candidly like strangers. You don't know who these people are when you first start. What was the impetus?
I think it all boils down to the athletes. I just remember coming out. Well, initially I came out and I got some volunteers to scrimmage against one of your teams. And I've told the story many times. We just thought it was going to be, we'll just walk up and down the court, just help these guys learn their skills. Well, next thing I know, we were losing 10-2. And I told my guys, hey, let's start playing. And it was just the spirit and the intensity of the athletes at all the different levels. I think that's what's carried me through all the years. If you remember, we had a couple of players when they were younger, Pam and Ted, and I watched them game. They, you know, they're in one of, let's say, our Division Five, and yet they were up and down the court and just running around and having fun, enjoying the game. And, you know, a lot of those athletes are still here since I've been here, and their enthusiasm hasn't diminished. So that's what keeps me going.
So in terms of that commitment, though, did you just wake up one morning and say, look, I want to be involved in Special Olympics? Or was it something earlier in your life that started as a catalyst to let you think about, it can't just be about me, I want to do something to help others?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's started with my parents, and they were always doing things for different groups and whatnot. I grew up, no matter what time of year it was, I was playing a sport, no matter what time of the day. And early, I will say this. I mean, early on, I did one of those Ronald McDonald things for, you know, try to help kids. And I remember the Jerry Lewis telethon. So I was always wanting to help other kids. And then as I grew up and became an adult, I've always been blessed with relatively good health, and obviously I had a great family, but I wanted to make sure I could help other people who maybe didn't have all the advantages I had. And sports was, again, my passion, and Special Olympics is the best way to take that passion and then help other people. I'd done a few different things over the years related to Special Olympics, just volunteer at various meets. But then when this basketball opportunity came along, it's been a much more intense thing. And it was just, you know, the time in my life, I've done different things. And then after about 10 years or so, I might say it's time to try something else. And that's how I got more involved in Special Olympics. And at the time, I thought maybe I could just help again, just volunteer once in a while. But then once I got involved with the program, for some reason, I knew this was my niche in life. And it's just been a a crazy but wonderful 17 years now. And so I think it's just a combination. My passion is in sports. My parents always trying to help people and instilled in me. And then this is just a way I can give back and, just feel good about what I'm doing during the day.
It's really a blessing, everything you've done over the many years. We're going to talk about some of the craziness in hoops in a little bit, too. Sweet Lou Ferraro, you're a local guy right here in Randolph, New Jersey. You got your beautiful wife, your kids. And I had the great privilege of meeting you many years ago, and we're great friends, like I'm great friends with Craig. Hopefully, even after today, you guys will still talk to me. But on a really serious note, what made you, Sweet Lou, decide? I call you Sweet Lou because you got a heart of gold.
That's cool.
What made you decide that I want to be involved in Special Olympics?
You know, Todd, I had coached my two older children in baseball, softball, and I loved coaching. I actually took some coaching courses in college to kind of spread it around a little bit. And I remember in 2005, a friend of our son, Andrew, who has an intellectual disability, said, you ought to look at the Special Olympics program in Morris County. Came in, saw the way Todd, you and Craig were working with the athletes, and I just it just kind of clicked. It was going to be right for my son, which was really important to me. But I said, I played basketball in high school. I said, this would be a great way for me to give back to the community. And from 2005 to today, the excitement for me is seeing the growth of the athlete, not just on the court, but as a person, and being part of helping them become better people on the basketball court, in life, helping them make decisions. In some cases, when a parent says to Craig, myself, Todd, when you were coaching, you've really helped my child. You've helped them become just a more grounded person. It's a great feeling, and it's something I'm very proud of.
And you absolutely should be, Sweet Lou and Craig. And I know there's so many other wonderful volunteers that really give back. And one of the things that, I grew up playing a lot of sports as well, and I wasn't the greatest athlete, but I still loved the competition, the sportsmanship, and the camaraderie you get. And one of the things you touched on, because if you're involved in the program, like you gentlemen have been for so many years, you watch the evolution of the athletes as well. And so, Craig, let me ask you this. So when you got involved, back in 2004, did you ever think you'd be, forget about being on the show, which I'm sure, exceeded your wildest dreams, of course. But did you ever think 17, 18 years later, you would still be so involved? In fact, you've taken over the reins and done an incredible job. But did you ever envision that type of commitment?
I never really thought about that. I just take year by year. Now, I would say the years have flown by. It is amazing that, and I was talking about my wife before the show today, we're talking about, that was 2004 when we started, and it's amazing how many different teams, athletes, and whatnot that we've gone through. And, I don't know, when you take on something, you just get into it, get yourself immersed into it, and then you see what happens, and, you go from there. If I could just real go back, another thing, one thing my wife reminded me that you should mention is, I think another thing that was important to me in getting involved in something like Special Olympics, and if you remember, I brought a lot of my fellow I graduated from University of Notre Dame, and one of the things about Notre Dame is that they always stress you do something for the community, and almost everybody there does something during their 4 years there, and I got all my friends I brought in to do that scrimmage, and something that she's commented on is that there seems to be something about our group of alumni, and that we always do want to give back to the community. So, I should give, a little bit of it comes from that. So I just make sure I get my wife's point in there. She's
I'm sure she's,
West, celebrity in her own right.
Yes,
so
West, Craig, I know your wife is an accomplished author now, and one of the things that I was thinking, because I've known you guys so long, is it's like that typical example of You know, she's getting finally all of the notoriety and success, but how many years has she worked so hard at her craft? And all of a sudden now she's like, you know, really well known, but nobody realizes all the effort that goes into it. And Sweet Lou, what do you think about that? And just in terms of the commitment in life, when you do something, do you see the immediate results, or do you think in your experience it takes some real time and commitment to really reap the benefits?
Todd, I absolutely definitely think working with the athletes, it takes time. It's a journey. And in some cases, it's a long journey. And that's okay. You just have to kind of put the athletes that you have in the right framework to be as successful as they can. We've had some athletes who get on the court who are more physically challenged. That's okay. We'll find a role for them. We'll make sure that they're comfortable in performing to the best of their abilities. And it's not about trying to make sure that they're going to play as if they're Duke or Kentucky. Needless to say, Kentucky, we can talk about that later. But that they feel good when they leave the court, that they have done the best they can. And when an athlete leaves the court and says to you, win or lose, hey, coach, did we play well? And you look at them and say, how do you think you played? And they said, I think we played great defense. We lost by a bucket. That's okay. At least they know I gave it all. I left it all out on the court, and that's what's important.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think that one of the beautiful things about the Special Olympics program is just the athletes, how hard they really try, and the enthusiasm. And also one of the beautiful things I've witnessed so many times being involved for many years is the parents and the friends that come out and root the athletes on. It's something incredible. I mean, Craig, what's it like? I know that, you know, in preparation, I was thinking about the many journeys down the Garden State Parkway for the big dance in Wildwood, you know, and I think a Hollywood, you know, in practice at the beginning of a season, he would say, we're going to the stage, we're getting the gold, and everybody got jazzed up about it. But, you know, what was the, you know, when you would think about it and the commitment and going down to the big dance, what's it like for the listeners to understand the enthusiasm and excitement when you would go to the big dance down in Wildwood?
Well, the whole thing also stems from the fact that we spent so much time with these athletes. So I've watched them grow up, and I've also been made part of their families. And so the families and parents and the athletes, like you say, every year they want to get to Wildwood. And the thing is, at least that gives them a focus. I don't even know if they understand, you know, what Wildwood is. They just know they want to get there, you know. But their passion is, you know, like, for example, now, the last year, obviously, we didn't have a season due to the pandemic. And then this year, because of the pandemic, we did not go to Wildwood. So there was some disappointment on the players' part. But they still, you know, they still came to play hard. I know that when we've gone down to Wildwood, we came back from those weekends. We would always take out some of the players into a local place down there, and they would consume about 100 chicken wings, and we would all be exhausted and whatnot. But I don't think any. I don't even know how you can put it into words. The craziness that goes on. We're in charge of sometimes 30 to 40 athletes. We play in about 10 different gyms, and there's whistles everywhere, and you know, you just do your best. And you know, they always they always like to win, but if they just come back from there with whatever trophy they come back with, you know, they're happy with that because they know they earned their way to Wildwood. It was a little this year. Every team was invited if they wanted to. We decided not to because of the pandemic, but I think it does mean a lot to the players because you have to get through the sectionals and earn your way to Wildwood. And I think it means something very special to the athletes. And I think the families also like it because they get to go down and maybe stay in Cape May while we're taking care of all their kids in Wildwood.
Right. So what about you, Sweet Lou, your perspective, because you've been involved in so many, you know, so many programs And I know that you're very active, not just in basketball, but you're involved in softball and done so many wonderful things. But what's your perspective for the listeners in terms of, you know, it's Special Olympic sports. What's kind of some of the misconceptions you think the public might have in terms of just the level of competition and the spirit of all the athletes and the parents and the supporters and the coaches? What's your perspective on that?
Todd, that's a great question. I think first is there might be a misnomer that a Special Olympic athlete doesn't care about winning. That's false. They care about winning as any athlete would. I think the other thing is, as we coach through the program, we've always instilled that concept of we're going to be a good team basketball program at any level. So we stress defense. We stress rebounding. I think some of the most rewarding things for me as a basketball coach is when parents, opposing coaches, come up and say, I couldn't believe that you told your kids 2-3 defense, and they just went there. My players wouldn't know how to do that. But I think that's the level of commitment that our athletes have, their desire to play well, and their ability to work as a team. We've had plenty of times that and all three of us have, where we've worked as hard as we could, and we'll miss 18 to 20 layups. But we'll be back on defense, and we won't miss those opportunities to play well, to rebound well. And I think that, for your listeners, is what people should really understand. Special Olympics is Special Olympics, but it is competitive, it's athletic, and it's athletes doing the absolute best they can.
Yeah, you know what I found very striking is when I first got involved a long time ago, over 20 years ago, I didn't know what to expect. I really didn't know how the athletes were going to be and how, you know, if they were going to be committed to doing their best. And right away, I knew they want to win and they want to do their best and compete. But one of the things that I think the public may not truly recognize is the beautiful things you guys do, and you instill so many wonderful values. For those that would understand basketball, which many listeners probably do, especially in March Madness, and shout out to the Fighting Irish. I know Craig and those great volunteers from the Irish, you know, clearly are wonderful people. But what you guys, I've witnessed firsthand, is how you treat the athletes. You treat them like anyone else. And I think that's the beautiful part of it is I think it's a level playing field. Athletes might have disabilities, but nonetheless, they get treated as an individual, no less, no more, and they get treated fairly and equally. But I remember years ago, I was involved on a team, I was coaching, and there was a young lady, and she had a lot of disabilities. And for the listeners, we have now this brought 5 teams, gentlemen, through to your hard work. When I started, we had 2, and it just kept on blossoming. But there was a young lady with a lot of disabilities. And one of the things that we always try to teach the athletes is teamwork and work together. And this one young lady, she had a lot of disabilities, but we called a timeout. I wanted her to get a basket. I was doing my very best. And we'd work the ball around, and we were able to get her the ball. And it was the most beautiful thing. When she made that basket, it was like winning the Super Bowl, like winning it all, because I saw the team come together and everybody was so excited. The players, both on our team and the other team, which is the wonderful thing about these athletes, are they really do care and they have huge hearts. Another example is where another opposing player would fall down. And instead of our guys running and taking the ball and making an easy layup, they'll stop and basically help the other athlete up.
It's amazing.
You need, right? Am I right, gentlemen? You need absolutely. More of that. I mean, you lose sight of, we always want to win, win, win. But the Special Olympians, I think, really get it. Craig, why do you think that is?
The biggest thing that stands out to me about the players is they get the pure joy of the sport. I think we maybe sometimes, you know, where we get too intense by playing a game or whatever, but they have pure joy. And but also, like you say, they also care about everybody that they're playing with. And they know each other, too. They know all their opponents and whatnot. They all interact together. Special Olympics in New Jersey does a wonderful job of getting, you know, keeping things going all year round. So these kids not only can interact sports-wise, but also socially. And there is a definite bond between all those kids. And, one thing I wanted to add there is that there are so many different levels of competition And we, you know, if there's folks out there that, you know, maybe your son or daughter may be eligible for Special Olympics, I'm telling you, whatever level they're at, this is going to be competitive for them, and they enjoy it. We encourage people, call up our program. We'll get you involved with the program, because it, like you see, these games are, you know, the Special Olympics New Jersey, they hire referees. These real referees are out there. The games are managed very well. These are real games, and they keep score. And, you know, people know the score, but they get over it much quicker than we do. As coaches, I still remember games that maybe we lost, but also some games that maybe were exciting that we won. And I know every play about it. These athletes, again, they play for the pure joy of the sport. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, you know, sometimes you see, like, Lizzie is one of her smile, you know, no matter what the score is, you know, that just makes your day. And
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about the Special Olympics, which probably a lot of the audience does not, because if your kids are healthy and they're in sports and, you know, you see Special Olympics being advertised on TV, you know, they're coming up. There are some athletes that may have, like, mental disabilities and really, like, your child, but how do you separate maybe those athletes from people like maybe lost their legs and they, you know, now they want to play basketball from a wheelchair? Like, is that part of the Special Olympics? Is that a different league, or do they just separate them for, like, you know, like
it's Paralympics? Yeah.
Oh, so that would be Paralympics. That's separate.
Yeah, that's separate.
See, yeah. I knew I was missing something. So Special Olympics really tries to stick to not just a physical disability.
Right. And again, everyone will find their level, and there's competition at every level.
Yes, so, I mean, right.
That is the beauty of.
So you
of
do
it.
Try to group so everyone can get out of it what they kind of want to get out of it.
Right. I mean, our philosophy with our program is sometimes we'll try to move a player, push that player to a little slightly higher level. But most people will settle in at a certain level that they can compete at. I mean,
and feel good.
And it's just, but that would be like any other, it'd be like a high school team.
Right. Travel soccer versus local soccer. Right.
You know, it's, you earn your spot.
Good. That's great.
And so, you know, nothing's given to anybody. But on the other hand, you know, we do encourage everyone gets to play during a game and all that.
Right.
Now, if there's 4 minutes to go and it's a 1-point game and you're playing for a gold medal, you know, you're going to put out your best players. But the team, you know, one thing that always amazes me is how these kids, they know what a team is. And they know, some players go, I don't want to go in coach right. This is not my time. You know, like you should put in, you know, Joey or whatever. But, I think that's the beauty of it. I mean, we feel like sometimes, you know, we feel like we're big shots because, you get involved in these games. It's like coaching the NBAs.
Yeah. Right. So, Craig, if I may, so for the listeners that maybe have a child or a friend that they think would be a good fit, and one of the magnificent things about our program, which I'm so proud about, is not only do you guys do remarkable things day in and day out, but no matter what the level of disability, we find a spot for that athlete, which is, I think, so important because a lot of the other programs don't have that benefit. So that's the beauty of Morris County is we have, like, top-level basketball. We have, you know, players with major disabilities, but there's always a spot available for that athlete. So, Craig, for folks that are listening, if they want to get involved, and I don't want your lovely wife screaming at me that you're giving out some personal number, what would be the best way to reach out to you if they want to get involved?
Okay, well, there's a couple ways. First of all, if someone is interested, they should immediately go to the state website, esonj.org, and that'll show you the different geographical locations, and it will also give you a list of folks who are running different programs in those areas. And now, for our program now, one time we were sponsored by Morris County Art, but we're now an independent program, and the name of our program is called Motown. And we're basically the Morris County area, but we cover a lot of areas. And since we've gone independent, we can recruit from elsewhere. So if we got any diaper dandies out there, please give us a call. But to contact me directly, I think the best way would be my email. And that would be craigernd@gmail.com. So that's craigernd@gmail.com. Now, Lou may want to talk. Coach Lou here, he never stops coaching. He's got a million sports. And because of what's going on in the Morris County area, all the teams are now independent. So you would have to act, if you wanted to speak to a specific coach, you would get that information from Special Olympics and speak to that specific coach. You know, I don't know how you handle like softball and.
Yeah. So again, to Craig's point, the best way to get in touch and get one of your young adults in your family that may want to, you know, play in Special Olympics is to work through SONJ.org. If you're in the local area, you can reach out to Craig. You could reach out to me. My email is lou.ferraro, F-E-R-R-A-R-O, 56@gmail.com.
You guys are impressive. Even at this hour, know your email address. So I would say, you know, shout out for that. That was impressive. So gentlemen, you know, one of the things that we were just kind of talking about is hoops. You know, it's March Madness. And one of the crazy things, you know, I'm busy. I'm blessed with two young boys and my wife, and I'm running a business. But lately, I've been a little more back into college sports and bracketology and March Madness and Cinderella. What were you guys' thoughts of the, you know, St. Peter's, the Peacocks beat the Kentucky Wildcats? And I thought it was a really fascinating kind of study in the human condition where it doesn't matter about your hype. It's once you step on the court, you got to bring it or you're going home. What were your thoughts about it? I know, Craig, you're a huge fan of the Irishman. What were your thoughts about that?
Well, I felt bad because I told my wife she couldn't pick St. Peter's. She had to take Kentucky because there's no way Kentucky would lose. But I'm going to give her that in her pool. You know, that's how we sometimes, you know, every time you come against a team that is coaches, you know, okay, if we play 10 times, we might lose all 10. We might lose 9 out of 10. But you don't have to worry about that. You just have to play that day, just win that day. And I'm sure that's the attitude that St. Peter's has. I mean, they earned their way to the tournament. Once you get into a tournament, anything can happen. And I know we've had a couple teams over the years where I think we ended up upsetting a couple teams on the way. And you just got to, you know, the players always have to believe in themselves. And you just never know. You never know what's going to happen. That's one of the beauty of sports. It's not predictable. I mean, I think that's why the TV ratings for sports is unbelievable, because it's not scripted. You just never know. And that's the beauty of it. And I know as coaches, well, if we're playing a team that's a little bit above us, we just love to try to come up with a strategy that'll work. And congratulations. I think they won again last night. I think
they did.
Sweet 16. So that's even bigger upset. So good for them. And unfortunately, in my bracket, I had an all-Catholic Final Four, but I picked St. Mary's instead of St. Peter's from that region. Right. So
you're in the Saints somewhere. The Saints come marching
in. I should have believed in St. Peter. I don't know.
Right. So we're going to take a very short break, and we're going to come back and continue our discussion about hoops and life and giving back.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Welcome back, everyone. We're having an amazing conversation. We're talking about hoops. We're talking about Special Olympic sports. We're talking about the journey of giving with two great friends of mine, Craig Lombardi and Sweet Lou Ferraro. You know, during the break, we were just kind of talking a little bit about one of the beautiful things. Again, I keep on using the word beautiful. It's repetitive because that's just how I feel about this program. But Craig, maybe you could speak to it about, you know, the diversity of the athletes and the folks that are involved in Special Olympic sports. What's your perception over these many years?
Yeah, well, just one thing in general about sports is I just feel like the one thing about playing in a game, especially I think basketball, is that's how you interact with a whole bunch of people from all different backgrounds. And one of the things about Special Olympics that is great is that these athletes range in age from, let's say, 13, 14, all the way up to 56, 57 years old. And they all come from different backgrounds. Their families are all from different backgrounds. And again, it's just it's sort of the beauty of the mosaic of Special Olympics is, and all these different personalities are coming together. And I know Coach Lou, you just mentioned, you know, one of the things also is that these athletes, they tend to play for a long time. I mean, these guys, they've been playing longer than we've been coaching. So God bless them. I don't really play that much actively anymore. I can't cover anybody, but these guys are still out there. And I just think it's each athlete, you know, you think about it, they have a unique personality. And again, I think that's the beauty of sports. Sometimes you learn about leadership and things like that. I think that is important in sports, but I don't know how much that carries into your adult life. But the one thing that does carry forward is, you know, if I see a kid from Special Olympics, I'm not nervous about being around them because I've met them through basketball. If I see someone from a different ethnicity, if we play ball together, it doesn't matter. You interact with everybody in the world, and it's you can always communicate about basketball or any sport. You know, it's a way to communicate people. That's what guys do. We communicate. We talk sports. And when I go home, I know I'll probably ask how's Todd doing. I'll say fine. But then, we talk all this about basketball. We'll talk forever about it. But I just think that's another great thing about the Special Olympics is all the different personalities and how much they're committed to the program.
So, Sweet Lou, I had a question from your perspective. I know you have a great athlete, Andy. We call him Moose. I mean, he's quite a great young man, and it's been really a beautiful thing watching him grow up really in front of my eyes. What's your perspective and thoughts with the parents of the athletes? Because, I mean, obviously you're a parent of an athlete, you're a coach, but you also have relationships with a number of these parents, which have been, you know, so involved in the program. I've been involved over 20 years, and the strength of the program is not just you wonderful coaches, but it's the parents and it's the athletes. What's your view of the parents and your feeling inside when you see the parents there with their athletes?
Well, Todd, that's a great question. You know, if you think about any parent, the commitment they have to make to their children as athletes, it's a big commitment. For Special Olympics, it's no different. It's a big commitment. It's time. It's effort. Many of our parents try to work with their athletes at home, whether it's shooting baskets, dribbling a basketball, watching a game with them and saying, hey, you heard Coach Craig say, this is how to box out. Look at how well that guy on St. Peter's just boxed out. But what really, you know, broadens that is the camaraderie then and the care across the parent group. We have a group of our female parents. We refer to them as the pink team. They coordinate all of our efforts. You know, Craig and I coach. Craig does all the administration, which, I mean, God bless him for taking on all that. But our pink team takes the level of that dedication one step higher. They organize events. They organize banquets. They organize getting new gyms and providing the support then in that town. And when you see that and the love that's shared because of those groups, I can tell you personally, some of those families are some of the best friends that not only my wife and I and my son Andy have, but so do our other children. They love to come back. I mean, my son came back yesterday and worked with a couple of my coworkers. I'll say shout out to Frank and Ron for coming in yesterday and helping us. They were amazed at our end of year extravaganza yesterday at the level of competition on the court. They all said, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. I actually had to really work hard to just compete in these games.
Yeah.
So, you know, great thing.
What Craig had brought up initially when I first met Craig and he brought, you know, a lot of the great guys from the Notre Dame alumni, I thought, well, wait a minute, they're going to be in for a bit of a surprise, because I was surprised because the level of play, and this is once again, some of the misconceptions of the public is there are some tremendous athletes playing Special Olympics basketball. And I know when Craig brought the guys down, he thought it would just be, you know, we'll pass the ball around, like this isn't going to be that competitive. And then, like you said, all of a sudden, wow, this is extraordinarily competitive. But to further touch on, I thought, really the importance of the program, there's five different teams. So once again, for the listeners, if there's some folks that thinking their kids or friends could get involved in the program, you guys touched on it. There's a spot on a team for someone. It doesn't matter level of disabilities. So I think that's so important for the listeners to understand through your great efforts. There's five levels now. It starts out with athletes, the blue level, right, with the most disabilities, and then going all the way up to, I use it as an analogy, is high school basketball. I mean, they're playing a lot of sophisticated defenses, and the level of the competition is really extraordinary. Craig, I want to talk, if you have a moment here, to talk about the friendships that you've developed over the many years, being involved in the program, and what you've been able to form. So what have you gotten out of it? Because you've given so much back, but what have you received?
Oh, I think the best, well, one way to answer that question is every year I go out with a small group of friends and we go to a different baseball stadium, and it's the Baseball Fun Bunch. And part of our weekend, besides eating and drinking, is we talk about what was the most significant moment of the year. And almost every year, it's something that happened during Special Olympics. It's a game. It's a player said something to me. It's a parent said something to me. It's like it becomes, you know, that one quarter of the year is always the most impactful to me somehow, emotionally, and it just goes to show, you know, everything that's going on. And like you talk about the parents before, I mean, they always support us. Even if the referees may be going against us and we may be vociferous, they're always behind our back. And I know we've had some rivalries, and they've always supported me and all the coaches. It is amazing support. And also, but give a shout out to some of the group homes too. Not every athlete, you know, is living at home. Someone living these, there's some really good group homes out there. And these guys, you know, they're carting these kids all over the place. And, shout out to them. You know, the other friendships, actually many, some of the athletes, I mean, you know, closer to some of the athletes other than others, because, you know, and they'll call me, they'll send me emails, they'll interact, they'll ask how you're doing. One player during the pandemic, she's called me every week just to make sure I was doing all right. I know there's a couple players that have been with the program for a long, long time, and I know they're relocating this year, and it's, I feel like I'm losing a couple of kids, you know, that they're going off to college or something. So I think it's friendships with the parents, obviously with the coaches. I think we coaches all love getting together every once in a while and, you know, just talk about everything in our lives. And but it's, so it's players, coaches, and parents. And I don't know, it just, like I say, it's always, I miss that. Last year was interesting. I had time off because we didn't have a season. So it was the first time I was at home for 3 months, which was kind of relaxing. On the other hand, there was definitely a void in my life, and I missed all the excitement and the pageantry and you know, people calling me up and saying I have a broken leg, but then showing up to practice next week because the ones they went to the doctor, everything was fine. So it's you know, it's just a. It is just, it's a crazy time of year, but it's just a wonderful thing that, like you mentioned, I get more out of it probably than I'm giving, with all the support and whatnot. And, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's just, this is one of the few things in my life that I haven't gotten bored with, you know, just every year I look forward to it and there's always something different. And, you know, I watch these players grow. Andy was a teenager, right, when he started, and now he's 15, 30.
14?
He's 30 31. Years old. These are adults now. Yeah. It's crazy. And so I feel like I've shared part of him growing up.
Absolutely. You know? And,
so it's just, it is a giant family. And we're also recruiting younger coaches.
Oh, yeah. Out there.
I'll get that in before I forget. But, you know, we want to expand our family. You know, we don't want to be stagnant. It's a growing family. And by the way, we had six teams.
Wow.
2 years ago before the pandemic. Now we were only five teams this year because some players opted not to play this year. But yeah, we're bursting at the seams a little bit, which is a good thing. We've heard some positive feedback from players from other programs about what they hear about our program.
So. No, it's because of your guys' commitment, and it really shows out there with the athletes and the enthusiasm. Lou, I want to ask you the same kind of question. You know, you've been involved, you're blessed, you know, wonderful family, and you've been committed so all many years. And I know you do softball, right? You've done that many years. You're very active in that, certainly hoops. What have you gotten out of it personally for these many years being involved in Special Olympics?
I would say, Todd, it's simple. It's Craig touched on this. It's the friendship with the athletes and it's the expanded friendship with the families. You know, we all, as a parent with a Special Olympic athlete, we all have kind of a common bond from that perspective. And that means that the more that our young adults as players and outside of that socially interact, the better their quality of life is. It's amazing when these people get together, the care, the concern they have for each other, the support they have for each other. You know, when they see a person who in a game makes that critical shot and maybe hasn't scored a lot, you'll see five players on the team. You got to remind them that the game is still going on. They're high-fiving each other, but they're so into it. But that stays when you leave the basketball court. They love being together, and I think the families really love being together. It's just like a huge community of support is what I would refer to it as.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, since you guys have been involved so many years and I've been involved as well, very fortunate and blessed, the friendships with the athletes and the parents. And it is one big family. It's hard to even kind of explain it, but you understand it when you're part of it, right? So, you know, Lou, I was thinking about you guys coming back on the show and how excited, and I was thinking about, you know, I was on the sidelines with you, and I know there's a number of games that just, you know, you just never forget, because I used to phrase it's lightning in a bottle. When you're in, like, my wife screams, we used the trenches, you know, but you're in the trenches, you know, you're on the, you know, you're coaching, you're so engaged. What's it like when you're in that nail biter and your season, if you lose, you're done, but if you win, you advance to the big dance down to Wildwood. What's that like? Can you explain for us what that feeling is?
Well, listen, Todd, I absolutely know exactly the game you're referring to. And that's for our listeners, that's kind of the joy of coaching. It was at, you know, the sectionals. And I think it was a game where I don't think either team ever led by more than 2 points, maybe three. Neither team had a lot of success offensively. Luckily, I had you by my side because one of the things that it gets so just intense when you're playing a competitive game against a rival where, you know, the athletes on both teams are going to hug each other after the game. That's just the way it is in a lot of competitions. But it really is for the moment. You live for that moment, not really for yourself, but for those athletes. What can I do if I call a timeout? Can I inbound the ball faster and get a quick basket? I have to remind the athletes, hey, listen, whatever you do, just don't foul, okay? And sometimes there's 20 seconds left. We're up by three. We don't need to score. Just protect the rock. But it's when you're involved in that, that's when you see the hard work of the athlete and what you've put in as a coach, whether you win or lose. You kind of see the fruits of that labor.
No question about it. Now, I want to ask you the same question, Craig, because I can remember many a time driving back from Wildwood, and it was a long ride. You know, we're up, you know, here in northern New Jersey. We got about a 2.5-hour pilgrimage, and you better believe Craig and I are talking the whole way, you know, obviously within the speed limit. He's in his car and I'm in mine. But I know the whole way back, you know, we're commiserating or celebrating,
right,
and we kind of like the whole overview of the craziness of our March Madness. Craig, is there any game or games that stand out in your mind that would typify for the listener the experience as a coach for Special Olympics?
Well, that's interesting. I'll try to be quick. I mean, I know we just had a phone call where I told you I had a day where I had a morning game where one of our better teams didn't listen to anything. And then I had a game later in the day where they worked perfectly together. And the referee actually said, wow, you guys played great team basketball. And they all have the ups and downs. Because sometimes the game plan works, sometimes it doesn't. But as far as, you know, I remember a big game, I think Andy Kaufman hit a big three, or he had three free throws to tie it. And it's rare that these guys make free throws. He made three in a row. Remember that game against Bergen?
Yeah.
Bergen at the time was a big rival. And I remember that game was a strategy. We're trying to figure out how to get somebody open. That was one of our, I think, better games. Strategies actually worked. and the players executed, and that was a big game. I remember real quick, one game that didn't go so well was like our Division V team. I remember they were playing down in Wildwood, and it was the first time ever they weren't really giving a lot of effort, and they were getting beat. But I gave them a speech at halftime, and I didn't rip into them. But I said, look, you guys got to pep it up. You got to play hard. Just play hard to show them what got. And they did. You know, they still lost. But the thing is, they came out the second half, played hard. I remember one of my favorite, though, was our second division team, a couple. Oh, no, it was actually a hodgepodge. It was new players, hadn't played together. We put them in on a team, and we were down in Wildwood. And we had a couple of players who were very intense players. And just played around them. And we ended up, we're going for the silver. And we're playing a team that had a superstar. And it was a close game, nail-biting. And then it was about 3 minutes ago, I called timeout with the ball. We're up one. I told my player, this is what we're going to do. Well, the referee gives the ball to the other team. And they're about to, so our guys are all running up the court. And the other team's going, well, we're going to walk in for a layup here. And a one-point game. So I go onto the court. And the referee gives me a technical for being on the court. So I go, well, you can't give them the ball. Well, anyway, I still got the technical. And I think a couple of my players thought I was getting arrested. I don't know. They didn't really realize what was going on. You know, oh, my God. So I remember telling them, look, Coach Craig made a mistake. You guys got to make up for it. And we had one guy, I saved him the whole game just to cover this superstar for the last few minutes so he wouldn't fall out. But he shut that guy down. And then these guys executed a four corners holding the ball, and it was one of the more enjoyable victories that I can recall. And it just shows you that, you know, athletes will listen, they'll execute strategies, but it's also very emotional. And fortunately, I only got one technical. I think he only made one out of the two free throws.
Let's call it the way it is. You get rather passionate out there.
I did. I had a technical with you once. The referee said, well, you need to pipe down. And I said, I would if you start making the right calls. And
can I ask a question? Do you ever have parents? Like, I go to the regular sports games and there's parents. You're like, can you just go stand in the corner? Because we're just trying to enjoy this game and you're just ruining it. But I guess you get that here too, huh?
Oh, yes.
It's the same.
Yeah, Hollywood's dad was pretty vociferous, but nothing. He wouldn't go down and like, you know, on the court or anything, but you could hear them in the stands. And he was a pretty loud guy, right?
I mean, I guess parents are parents, right? We're just built a certain way and we're passionate.
And you know, parents are parents and people are people. And that's once again what Special Olympics is. Everybody's really the same when you peel the onion back.
Yep.
But going to the parents, they do care deeply about the games. They care about their athletes. And there are times where, you know, the kid could be getting assaulted on the court and the parents let the ref know that's not, you know, you got to call it foul. But once again, the parents have their heart in the right place. So, Lou, I wanted to just kind of talk a little bit more about life's mysteries, if you'll permit. So the whole idea of the show is the journey of giving. Do you have some advice for folks that I'll use the basketball kind of acronym here? You're on the sideline. Do you have any ideas maybe for folks like maybe want to get involved, but they're not sure? Do you have any kind of advice for those folks listening?
Sure, Todd. There's if you have a desire to get involved, you can get involved. We could use extra volunteers to help us in practice. If you have, you know, some former basketball playing ability, don't rule out that you can't be a coach. We have one of our younger coaches this year, Gabe, joined our program a couple of years ago. This year ran his own team, doing a phenomenal job. Great young man. So engaged with the athletes. And they have a lot of respect for him. But when he came to us, he said, listen, I just want to learn. I want to learn how to work with the program. There's a lot of ability to get involved. We've had now some young adults in communities who have volunteered and have come in and have worked with Craig, myself, our other coaches to help us on the court. They'll run drills for us. They'll help individual players with doing foul shooting and how to focus their shot better. So volunteering also can be very, very rewarding. And when you see that you're helping a Special Olympic athlete, the passion you'll get back from that athlete, it's second to very few things in life.
Amen to that.
I remember doing track and field, one of my initial forays, and I was talking to somebody, and I thought he was one of the organizers, and it turned out to be he was one of the athletes, and he played basketball too. He had blonde hair. He ended up being on the council. I know we have a guy now, like Brian Canavina. He's on the council. He went to just graduate from college and everything. And so,
great young man.
Yeah,
oh my God, he's amazing. Oh, the Brian is a real one special person.
But you're gonna fall in love. These are the kind of athletes you get along with. And I think these volunteers, they start doing it, and all of a sudden, they fall in love with the athletes. You know, I don't know if there's a better way to phrase it.
I feel the same way from the deepest part of my heart, just being involved and meeting so many wonderful people. I've met incredible folks like you guys and the athletes and the parents. I've gotten so much more out of it than I ever thought was possible. For those listening, there is opportunities out there, whatever it might be. It could be Special Olympic sports. It could be doing Habitat for Humanity. It could be whatever your passion is. But I always tell people, put your foot into it.
Yeah.
Take a shot at it. You know, if it's not for you, you try something else. But
right,
so
absolutely.
Many people are afraid to take that step forward. And I think they miss out on so many opportunities in life. You know, Craig, in terms of, you know, your involvement, you know, you're busy at work, but you still find the time. How does that work in your mind? Like, you're like, all right, I'm working all week, but then I got the whole weekend, because it's a commitment for the listeners. It's Saturday, basketball madness from like 9 until like 1:30. And then you got games all day Sunday. And let's be realistic. You do get a little loud out there, so I'm sure by the time you come home, not only do you need a beer, but maybe a tranquilizer.
Yeah.
But what? I mean, my wife says that about me anyway, without doing any coaching.
I am known. I think one of the other programs, one of our players practiced with one of the other teams, and she learned that the coaches think I'm crazy. So I guess that's not bad. As long as they think I'm crazy, they don't know what I'm going to do on the court. So that's good, I guess. Yeah, there's so much intensity, but for me, I'd much rather be intense about that on the weekend and worry about work all weekend. So in a way, it's been easy for me. I will say, I don't know what your experience is, but you know, the first couple months, my wife is all on board with it. Usually near the end of March, then it's like, okay, let's go, waiting for spring. And I need to see it, because really, I just commit myself to the program. It is, if you're going to help manage the program and also coach the teams, it is a time commitment.
It is.
And first week of January through the end of March, I won't travel. I don't have time to do that. I'd rather do this. And so I make the time. It's not finding the time. I want to make the time. I get more upset if something happens that I don't have the time to coach basketball. So again, you know, for me, it hasn't really been that much of a burden, although I am exhausted. End of March, you know, I do like to just burn out for a couple of weeks, because everything's going on. And but I think you just mentioned, you keep looking for whatever you want to do for a community. Find what your passion
exactly.
is. And then it doesn't become a burden of time. It becomes, that's what you want to do for your time. Everything else becomes a burden.
Right. You know, one thing, right, and just to touch on that for the listeners as well, everybody has a gift in life. You could be a great coach. You could be a great artist. You could be just a person. You know, you love people. You know, you could be incredibly smart. You can mentor some people. You can lift up the community. Sweet Lou, before we, you know, conclude this, you know, really amazing show today, what are your thoughts about, you know, the life's lessons that you've been able to, you know, kind of learn over the many years?
First, it's treating each of our athletes as individuals with respect, and trying to build a one-on-one relationship with each of them, so that I can help them be the best person they can be on the court or off the court. A perfect example, a young man who we've coached, all of us, many years. I'll just use his name as Mark. When we would go to a competition, especially in softball, and weather would be extreme. And we had some athletes who were oh my God, coach, I'm really afraid. It's thunderstorms. I don't like lightning. And Special Olympics, you use a great job of keeping us safe and secure, but people just didn't like the noise. And, Mark would say, well, let's get together and let's do a trivia thing as a team. What I learned from Mark is he knows that I love music. His knowledge of the history of music and of rock music, he would ask questions during trivia like, coach, I know you like rock. Give me three bands that Eric Clapton was in before he was in Cream. And I'd be like, oh my goodness, I should know this. But, and you just realize how incredibly gifted so many of these young people are. It's amazing.
Yeah, and if I could real quick add to that, these kids are social. They want to go out and do things. And if you see someone in school that maybe has a disability, whatever it is, don't exclude them from activities. Invite them. Go to them. Take them Absolutely. To a movie or something. Because we all have issues. And I just wish some of these kids, sometimes you hurt for them because maybe socially they don't get out as much. But you see someone, invite them out. It's always better to be inclusive than exclusive, no matter what age you are.
Great point.
That's also just life's mysteries as well. You got to treat everyone and include people. No one likes to be excluded.
Yeah, and you're going to get something out of it. They know music. They know everything socially.
No question about it. And that's one of the wonderful things about you guys. You not only have treated everyone so fairly and equally, but you're great friends of mine. And I feel blessed to be basically involved with guys of your caliber. I mean that sincerely, because you go through life and you get to know the good from the bad, and you guys are wonderful. So I just want to say God bless both of you for all of your commitment. Don't stop what you're doing. Let's hope we get some new, younger coaches. Well, no disrespect to you guys.
Maybe an old coach might come back.
You never know.
A bit older.
Right. But once again, though, it's amazing what you guys are doing, and I know the community really appreciates it. Each week we bring on wonderful people. Next week, I'm going to bring on my great friend, Dr. Goldstein, who's been doing remote area medical. We're going to talk about his commitment, his involvement with it, with his son now, Zach, in the tradition of excellence. I just want to say one last thing before we go. I don't know if you're religious or not, but I'm praying for the Ukrainian people.
Absolutely.
I really hope there's a very, very quick, peaceful resolution at this point. It's a heartbreak when you see the carnage going on, and I pray for them. And once again, I wish everyone a blessed and safe rest of this weekend. Please tune in next Sunday at 9. Take care.